Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show.
Okay, I believe we are live. Hi, everyone. Hi, Cleaning Nation. This is Lindsay and Tracy here. She's standing next to me. She's on my right. So, we are in for Mike today. And just like we have our millionaire mastermind, Mike has his own mastermind that he is a part of. So he is always learning and improving his skills as a coach and a leader. And that's awesome. And so Tracy and I stepped up and are jumping in for the podcast. So welcome, everyone. And if this is new to you, subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you're listening to this. We always appreciate that. And as well as any ideas of stuff you'd want to see about growing your cleaning company. So we are always on the lookout for problems, right, Tracy? That sounds weird, but for things we can help Cleaning Nation with, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. One of the things we've been seeing lately is people want to learn how to make their own podcast. So real quick, before we dive into being decisive, just wanted to do a quick shout out. Today's Tuesday. This podcast is coming out on Thursday. But on Monday, the December 14th and December 15th, we are hosting a podcast event. And even though it's kind of late to come in person at this point in time, you can still check it out virtually. So if you want to check out what that's all about, go to growmycleaningcompany.com/podcast event, and you see more info there. One of the other issues that Tracy and I have been seeing a lot lately in Cleaning Nation, even I struggle with this problem, to be honest, to be real, that's what inspired this podcast, is being decisive, like making a decision and what leads you to make the decision and stick with it too. So I wanted to dive into that today because I know as business owners, Cleaning Nation, you have tons to deal with. And you get overwhelmed, right? You don't know like the next step to take or even where to start. And then you get stuck in a rut. You get stuck on that hamster wheel and you're continuously working in your business instead of on it. Tracy, basically you're going to be my mindset coach today. and we got some love real quick. Sorry, guys. I'm like delaying going into the juicy stuff. But Ann Wynn Smith says, hey, girls. Hey, or excuse me, Amy. What's up, Amy? Georgie there is helping us. She posted a link to the podcast event. Kim Johnson says, thanks, Tracy, for our mindset call today. Yay. And Jason says, hey, looking forward to seeing you ladies next week. So yes, I will be virtual. Tracy will be in person. So we're pumped about the podcast event. Okay. So, so here's the first question I have for you, Tracy. I hear people a lot that are just like in the weeds, right? They're just in the thick of it. And they're like, if I just make it through this week, if I can just put off making that huge, big decision until next week, like I'll be okay, right? Like I can wait. What do you say when people say that to you?
So decisions are, I like to think of decisions like currency, like money, right? And we can build our bank account, our decision bank account, by investing in it, making decisions quickly and moving forward and taking action. And that builds our decision bank account. When we put off decisions, it's like a debit. It's like taking money out of your bank account, your decision bank account. And so the longer you wait, especially on a big decision, something that is that drains your decision bank account even faster, it's energetically horrible for you. It's like this big, giant, open hole energetically. And we have a certain capacity every day for decision making. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of this term, but decision fatigue.
Oh my gosh.
Where, right?
Yes.
Where we have so many to make that if we put them off, they pile up. And so you just kind of almost have this image of this ticker of all the decision currency that you are draining out of your decision bank account. And so big decisions drain it faster. So what I would say to that is, can you do it? Can you wait? Of course you can. The question is whether that's advantageous for you. And I will just say that that is the fastest way to drain your energy, to scatter your focus, to keep you distracted, to have you feel overwhelmed, to have you, right, all the things that start to pile up in our lives, in our business, and on us personally. So if you're okay with that, go ahead, wait. If you're not okay with that, start building your decision-making, action-taking muscle now. Start with making those small decisions, smaller decisions, more quickly, more efficiently, faster, taking action quicker, so that the big decisions are not the ones that you end up putting off and then draining the life out of your decision-making bank.
You just said that. That was such a good analogy. I'm kind of speechless because I, as an operations manager, there's a lot of decisions to make, and I'm guilty of that myself. So that is great advice, thinking of it as a bank account, and that's a debit, and you're just draining, and taking. So,
right.
I was going to save this question for later, but you kind of touched on it. So I want to dive into that now. Is what if you're a person and you get kind of decision paralysis? Like you were saying earlier how you make a decision, you keep making decisions, smaller ones, and that's how you build that decision muscle. What if you've tried that in the past, but you made some bad decision and some bad stuff, decisions and like bad stuff went down? Like what if you just start with a story like, I'm a bad decision maker, therefore I can't make any decisions. How do you tackle?
Yes. So, hopefully it was me or you or one of us that just lagged a little bit. So I'm assuming that you were done. So making decisions quickly. So when we have made some what we would deem bad decisions, okay? So, and I would argue, and I just want to frame this for everybody, viewing a decision, any action that you take as bad or good is automatically going to put us behind the eight ball. That's automatically going to put us in a mindset, a frame that is a disadvantage. Because as long as you view your decision making and your action taking as being bad at any time, oh, I made a bad decision, or that was bad, I shouldn't have done that, or that was awful, or that resulted in this terrible, instead of looking at it as that was feedback. So I would say the first mindset shift is we have to stop framing decisions as good or bad. All decisions and action taking is feedback. And if we can get feedback faster, we've all heard the term fail forward faster. If we can make a decision, it's not good or bad, it's feedback, and we can do that faster, then we are that much closer, quicker, to a better solution, a better decision. So I would say the first thing is we can't keep sort of eroding our own self-trust. Mm-hmm. What happens when we tell ourselves, I've made bad decisions, is it makes us fearful. Because we're now afraid of that bad decision potential. And we've broken trust with ourselves, meaning that we've told ourselves, okay, I'll make a decision, I'll take action, but only if it's good. You see the dilemma here, right?
Right.
We have to be willing to say to ourselves, my contract with myself is to make a decision quickly, to take action even faster, and get the feedback. Don't judge it. It's not good or bad. No matter what happens, it's still feedback. And therefore, I will take that feedback and I will find a way to a better solution, a better decision next, and then keep moving forward. That's the most empowered way to exercise that new decision-making muscle.
I love that so much. It's not good or bad. It's just feedback. It's just information. It's kind of like taking the emotional part out of it, from what I'm understanding, and really just looking at it objectively, almost like a computer would, just analyzing it. See, more, you know, emotions are good, but sometimes they can hold us back, and sometimes it's good to be like a computer.
It's, you know, absolutely. Being the objective observer, yes, of our own decisions when we're in business especially is so important. And it's hard. I'm not saying that it's easy, especially when we've been accustomed to making emotional decisions or decisions we thought were analytical or logical, but were actually emotional. So again, we have to be mindful. The first level is awareness, is why are we making this decision or not making the decision? So if we get into analysis paralysis, I guarantee you at the core, there's fear. Somewhere along, there's something you're afraid of. And usually it's because I don't want to fail, I made bad decisions. Those judgments that are emotional are the reason we're procrastinating much of the time.
I love that. It's a lot of it comes down, what I'm understanding, and especially with Mike and you've both said it, a lot of it comes down to fear to make the decision. Mm-hmm. And the other half of it is like procrastination. Procrastination's a big one. I see. And it's sneaky too. Procrastination. It's sneaky because there's different versions of it, right? Different lies or like stories we tell ourselves. One thing I hear a lot of, just anytime there's a lot of tech involved in a decision or something like that, you might hear someone say, oh, I just need more data to make my decision, or I need to do more research. I need to like know all the options out there before I make a decision. What do we, yes, do with those people, Tracy?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, you are so right about that, Lindsay, about that line, that fine line between due diligence and overanalyzing and procrastination. So how do we know when we cross the line from due diligence into procrastination? Well, I will say this, that we need to really be conscious, again, mindful of how long we're taking to, how much the cost is. We all should have a premium on our time. And every moment that you're taking to analyze and crunch data and do all of that, is there's a point of diminishing return. So we have to decide ahead. It's like we have to almost get leverage on ourselves. I'm only going to analyze this for X amount of time. Mm. I'm giving myself a timeline. No more than that, because then I'm dipping into the diminishing return zone. And now the time I'm putting into this decision or into this outcome exceeds, right, the return. So I think we need to be more conscious, first of all, like how much time are we taking in these things, and then shorten it. My recommendation is when you think you need a whole day to do something, cut it in half. See what happens. Give yourself a halftime goal. And it's amazing what we can get done when we tell ourselves, I'm only going to give myself this much time to do my due diligence, to do my research or whatever, and then I'm going. I am making a decision no matter what. And that's one of the practices I recommend for high performers who said, listen, I've got a lot of decisions I have to make. And unless you can offload that research to someone else, if you're the one doing it, give yourself the halftime goal.
That is such good advice. I love that. I love you. I love when you give us advice, Tracy, that's so logical. This is the second time on a podcast that I can think of that you literally said, put a timer on it. The other time was when, you know, you get really upset and you have a huge setback, like to literally put a timer on it, to like mourn that or to get angry and then move on. This reminds me of that, because it's like giving yourself time to figure out that information, but put a limit on it. You know, don't wait longer than you have to. I love that. It's a little Jedi mind trick, I think. So
it's kind of like we have to hack our own systems sometimes, because left alone, we tell ourselves all kinds of wild stories. Oh my gosh, I have to do my due diligence. I've got to do this. I've got to analyze this. And then pretty soon, 3 days go by and we're like, oh crap, mm-hmm, where did the time go, right? Mm-hmm. What happened? I didn't intend to take this long. And so we don't want that to happen. So we need to be the purveyor, the one who's in charge by giving ourselves that time limit.
I love it. I love it. I'm just going to go back through some comments from Facebook. Dominique Tucci says, yes. Silva Bucket Cleaning Service says, it's scary when you have one. Oh, sorry. She corrected herself. Have a business partner who has the fear factor, as we call it, and they're procrastinating on the other end of the business partner. So it sounds like from what she's saying there, one person has the fear and the other person has the procrastination. Any thoughts on that one, Tracy?
That's always a Yes, I love that. In fact, I love the challenge of that. Thank you for bringing that up. Because it's one thing when we're trying to just master our own inner state, right? I always say be the governor of your inner state of being. So it's hard enough when we're trying to do that for ourselves. But when we're in a partnership or we're in a family, like a lot of us are family-owned businesses here in Clean Nation, what do we do when we have a partner or family that isn't exactly on board with this faster decision-making, action-taking approach? So the first thing I would say is before we try to influence other people, mm-hmm. we have to be absolutely sure that we've taken care of, we've governed our own state of mind and state of being first. So my first recommendation is always to lead by example. So in this case, what does that look like? So leading by example isn't just doing better. You know, you have to share your process with this other person. So let them know, hey, you know how I used to take 3 days to make a decision? I'd have to overanalyze everything. Well, I've challenged myself to cut that in half. And I'm now setting time limits for myself to make decisions. So I'm just letting you know, partner, I'm letting you know, spouse, whatever, whoever it is, I'm doing this. I'm challenging myself. I'm holding myself to a more accountable timelines for that. Let's see what happens. Let's see how it goes. I will let you know what this is like for me. And start sharing what you're doing, not just do it. That's step number one. Step number two is share that process. What you're not doing is you're not saying, oh, and you should do it too. And listen, you need to be doing it. And because if any of us have ever had children or cared for children, how does that work? Right? When you tell them, no, you're going to do as I say.
You're going to clean your room.
Yeah. Even though my kitchen's a mess, you go clean your room. We have to take care of our own yard, so to speak, first. Mm-hmm. And when we do that and we share it, we're more likely to influence in a positive way. So they can see the results. They can see the benefit. They can see how much you've grown because you've challenged yourself in this new way.
I love it. I love it. Communication is key. That sounds so corny, but I rephrased it corny, but it's true. How can you know, first of all, if you don't share your journey with other people, right, no one's going to know what's going on inside your head. No one can read your mind, even though we all assume other people can. We're all guilty of that, right? but I love your approach where you're just saying, I'm not going to tell them what to do. I'm going to inform them what I'm doing. And you set a timeline on it, a goal, so it's very clear. And that even gives them a chance to get involved and help hold you accountable. I'm using air quotes for people that are not on video right now listening to this on the podcast version, but not hold you accountable, but you know, to get involved and get involved
to
in the process.
You.
Yeah. Support you and you're inspiring them. Like, hey, if she can do this, my partner, business partner, spouse, whatever, maybe I should, and these kind of results are possible because you're going to have results once you start doing this, right? Like, you make a decision, you're going to get a result, whether it's what you expected or not. But hey, at least you're moving forward, like you said, Tracy. I guess my last question, it's not really a question, it's more mindset stuff, but it is a question. Don't successful people, though, like the really successful people, like, I don't know who's successful, like Tim Ferriss, he's a great podcaster, right? Don't they take time to think things over? Like, don't they really do their due diligence and take time? Or do you think those people aren't doing that, Tracy? What's your take on that?
That's a very, it kind of circles back to our first sort of discussion around the line between due diligence and procrastination or waiting too long, you've crossed that line. So my whole experience and everything I've ever read and researched of successful people is they actually are the opposite. They're more likely to take less time to mull something over, to, you know, do a ton of research, to consider it, to think about it, to ask 50 people about it, to, you know, whatever. They're more likely to say the value in making a decision and taking an action today versus doing more research and making that decision and taking actions 3 days from now is so big. The value of doing it now is so much greater. The return is so much greater for me to do this now versus waiting, that they have learned how to trust, right? To trust that if they make that decision sooner, there's always going to be a faster return and more likely to trust themselves and create intuition. You know, here's the thing. People think of intuition as being something, or, you know, they go, well, gosh, that guy has great instincts. Mm-hmm. That person just seems to know the right thing to do. No, they practiced it. Yes. Intuition is your relationship with your higher self. That's what intuition is. When you listen to it and you trust it and you make decisions quickly and you take action faster, that's how you create that new, stronger bond with your intuition. So if you want, there's a little insider hack. If you want better intuitive, instinctual skills, like the big boys and girls out there that are making, crushing it, that's how you do it. Make decisions faster, take the feedback, take the bounce, and make another one even faster, and then even faster. So no, most of the time, the big players are not deliberating for long, long periods of time. If there's a big decision they have to make and it requires a lot of research, guess what they do? They freaking delegate.
Yeah.
They get a team together to do that research. They want to compress time. They understand that compressing time is the key to success. Success and money love speed.
That's all right. That's the takeaway. That's the writer down there. Success. Say it one more time. Success.
Success and money love speed.
I love that. I think we're going to close it out there today, Cleaning Nation. That was perfect. Tracy just has these gold, I wouldn't even say gold nuggets. They're like gold bombs that just, they're like, phew, it's great stuff. So yeah, thanks Tracy for joining me today. You, Cleaning Nation loves you. You always have such great input and I love picking your brain too. So it was a little fun therapy for me.
And I love being here.
I love it.
So much fun.
So guys, if this is scratching where you itch and you're ready to make things happen in your life and you're like, yes, I want to be able to make decisions more. I just want to tap into this. One of the things you can do is book a skill session with one of our coaches, and you can find that at growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. Our team loves helping out, loves helping you grow your cleaning company. So definitely go and check it out, and we'll look at what's possible for you for in terms of time and money freedom, what Tracy's talking about there, and where you can go from there. So the great stuff, everyone. Everyone's saying Merry Christmas and thanks for everything. And Merry Early Christmas to you guys out there too. And we'll catch you next time, Cleaning Nation. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.